Last month, Heringa Energy opened the country's first hydrogen network running from South Auckland to Palmerston North. Hydrogen remains more expensive than diesel as a trucking fuel, and the cost of getting a hydrogen power truck on the road is double that of a diesel equivalent. So far, there are just 6 hydrogen trucks on our roads, 1 bus and a handful of cars. But some transport businesses are beginning to make the investment, such as HW Richardson in Invercargill and the TR Group in Wellington. Andrew Clennett is Heringa Energy's Chief Executive. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Catherine.
James Smith is General Manager of Policy and Advocacy at the National Road Carriers Association, which represents a lot of the big transport companies. Good morning, James.
Good morning, Catherine.
So, Andrew, let's talk about this network. You've got, I think, 3 stations running from Wiri in South Auckland down to Palmerston North. Does that allow a transport link for a hydrogen vehicle from South Auckland to Palmerston North along State Highway 1? Would it do the job?
Correct. It's really as we go through, we're learning more and more about these technologies. But the idea is we can drive from north of Auckland down through, filling up at Wiri, down through Palmerston North, towards Palmerston North, and even down to Wellington. So that's the key idea of really starting straight away, that you can open up commerce along these sort of routes.
So now that there's a spine, let's just talk about the practicalities of it. You literally make green hydrogen on site at these stations. Can you explain how?
Yeah, so what we do, one of the big things that's very topical, I guess, this morning, is we have electrolyzers on site, and they're a technology that makes hydrogen from water, from splitting water with renewable electricity. And what we're able to do is we have both our own generation that we're building, but also we purchase generation from other generators, and we align that generation for when the renewables available and certify that electricity we use. And so that allows us to, when there's available electricity, so for example during the daytime yesterday, but not necessarily during these peak hours that there was a grid challenge, we're able to produce the hydrogen on site ready to put into trucks today. So we've already, if you like, used that energy when it was available, when the grid had the capacity.
Just help me though, if you're starting at North Auckland and finishing in Wellington, you've got to be full when you start. Does that mean that a company wanting to make use of this would have its own system at base or what?
No, it's going to be about just really the routes that you have the top up. So you'll plan accordingly with the stations that are available. So at the moment, there are no sort of depot type stations. Ultimately, those sort of things will come in, but it's just around the range.
So fill it South Auckland, fill it Tarapa, fill it at Palmerston North. And Tarapa's interesting. Would this make it viable for a logistics firm or for a truck to stop off at the Ruakura inland port, because that's becoming an intensive kind of part of the logistics system? Would the Tarapa station enable that practically or not?
It will enable it, although we actually have plans with our partner Waitomo to put a station at the Ruakura site where there's sort of a super hub. And so that's very much part of, with the new rerouting through the eastern side of Hamilton, we see that that's a key station that'll be coming through in our future plans. And there's a site allocated there.
So have you got any actual users for the network yet? This sounds a little bit like a case of build it and they will come.
It's been very encouraging. We've already got one truck operating on the network that New Zealand Post is running. And so that's running commercial routes. It's filling twice a day. The fill takes just 10 to 12 minutes. And it's already demonstrating it's starting to open up more and more routes. And that's filling at Wiri. And then it's available to start to introduce routes further south. So it's already there, but very much without us having made this commitment, there wouldn't be any basis to invest in a fleet, because without the sort of fast filling that you can do with this sort of network, the business case for running this fleet is problematic. So really being able to keep the truck on the road, filling fast, continuing on the road like diesel trucks do now, and getting the range that you can achieve with this fuel, that's the key. But also, I guess it's important that there's a very parallel investment that's being made with TR Group, who've got 20 trucks in train that are part of the program to come onto this network through the next 12 months. And there are further trucks, we've heard about the other trucks Richardson Group have got in the south. These trucks will all be starting to come onto the network this network.
Well, they come to the North Island, though. They're Southland-based, aren't they, HW Richardson? But are they national operators? Would you envisage them using this North Island network?
Absolutely, and we're talking to them about that.
Okay. How would they get through the South Island? Sorry for the obvious question.
They'll go on the ferries.
Yeah, so but how would they get? Do they operate from places other than Invercargill? How would they get from Invercargill to the ferry?
Oh no. So sorry. The actual particular truck technology is what's called a dual fuel technology.
There you go.
So you can actually inject. They can run on diesel and then just choose to buy some hydrogen, put that into their tanks to extend their range.
Why would vehicles go to hydrogen rather than electric? Is there an advantage for it if you're trying to get off diesel?
It's really around the applications and think of it like the bigger end of town with the trucks. So there's a whole toolkit we need to decarbonize our supply chains. You know, there's that last mile, the delivery trucks that operate in the city, and they're already battery trucks doing that. But as you get to the bigger payloads and the bigger ranges, a lot of these expensive new trucks, they need to be on the road up to 24/7. And so you need a technology that allows them to fill and keep going and fill and keep going and deliver their payloads without suffering for payload capacity as well. So it's hydrogen technology is really the closest equivalent to the diesel trucking, diesel trucking methods that are applied now in those bigger units. And so that's why at that end of town, it's hydrogen. As you go through into smaller vehicles, or if you've got sort of more downtime on those vehicles and you have time to charge, that comes into the fray. The other thing really also, though, is the grid capacity to charge. I've been hearing this morning about the challenge of charging a whole bunch of battery vehicles. And so what you need to do is to charge a whole fleet of trucks. That's a big demand on a grid. So hydrogen helps you also manage that grid. Like I was saying, we can be producing the hydrogen the day before.
It has many challenges, we know, and I think you and I have spoken previously, actually. It has benefits when you're close to source hydrogen. You need a critical mass of users to make it financially viable. It is more difficult to transmit or to pipe. What's your business model at the moment? I mean, here you are essentially doing proof of concept stuff and beyond, starting to build some clients. But what's your own business model for Heringa Energy, Andrew, that's enabled you to get this far?
So effectively, we realise you have to build a network, you have to create that scale. And as you create the scale, the scale economies we achieve start to build some margin for a business to be an investable proposition. Our role, though, is rather than just building a margin, we need to get the cost of the hydrogen molecule down. And so that by driving the cost of the hydrogen molecule down, that will drive the uptake of this up. We're moving into an enormous market that's the fossil fuel market, and particularly if you think in this case it's the liquid fossil fuel such as diesel. So there's enormous market opportunity, there's enormous headroom to move into that. Our job is to scale as quickly as we can with our partners to really build the business
Thank you, Andrew Clennett of Heringa Energy. James Smith, let's bring you in. General Manager of Policy and Advocacy for the National Road Carriers Association. I think it's 90% of freight is moved around this country by road. And what are the pros and cons of considering hydrogen? What are you hearing from your members?
Catherine, I think that all transport operators have got decarbonisation on their radar. So what they're looking for is the appropriate technology that, as Andrew said earlier, enables them to maintain as close to what they're doing now, but with a zero emission vehicle. So you've got operators that are looking at a range of different alternatives. So they're saying, okay, can we go with battery electric? Do we go hydrogen? Do we go hydrogen combustion? What are the various options? So there is no silver bullet. So it's a matter of providing choice.
Where are things at with interest? We've just heard, I think it's twice the cost for the upfront cost of the vehicle, for example. There's the range anxiety as well. But is there significant interest? How would you describe it?
There is significant interest. I think we were, late last year, we did in conjunction with Ministry of Transport, we actually did a survey of transport operators to gauge what their what their fleet decision-making processes were, and what, and to get an indication of interest. And what we got as a result of that was overwhelming interest in adopting the new technology. So what's holding it back is the availability of the new technology and the uncertainty regarding cost, and especially not just the big capital cost at the start, but the cost over life. Because like with a lot of new technology, there's an awful lot of unknown.
Who's driving what now, and what are they telling you about the experience?
Okay, so I've driven one of the hydrogen fuel cell vehicles, and I've driven battery electric vehicles. Both offer a very enhanced driving experience over driving a diesel, and that feedback we're getting from the drivers that are driving them for a living. They're a pleasure to drive. They're very responsive. They're extremely quiet. And they come with a whole range of safety features. So I think the driver acceptance is not going to be the issue. The issue we've got at the moment is simply there just aren't enough of them entering the market.